When you start talking about Jesus, hell is threatened. Demons are threatened. Powers are threatened. I'm telling you, principalities are threatened because of the name of Jesus. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to the fourth chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let me know, when we go into the book of Acts, what are we talking about? The early church. Some people don't understand. You know, some people don't understand that the Acts is actually a short word for the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. That's what this book is all about. It's the Acts of the Apostles, the early church, and what took place there. What happened in Acts chapter 2? We're not gonna go there tonight, or this morning rather. But it's Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I'm excited about this word this morning. But in Acts 1, we've been talking about this summer, Wednesday night, we've been talking about evangelism. And I hope it's went as well downstairs. I feel like the Lord's really been speaking to us up here. We talked last Wednesday about the prodigal that stayed home. Amen. There was no evangelism in him. You know, do you realize, I mentioned this to Brandon, I think Justin, on Friday night. You know, I talked about the prodigal stayed home, and one had pulled up a message on the internet like the next day by Damon Thompson, and he was talking about that same thing, and he mentioned the fact, one of the things that I didn't mention on Wednesday night, but he mentioned the fact that the scripture says that the older son was in the field when the younger one came in, right? So he should have been worried about the harvest. He should have been worried about the harvest and evangelism rather than being jealous over his younger son getting the blessing. That'll preach. God, give us a heart for the harvest. Give us a passion for lost souls. Amen. But anyway, one of the verses we've been using here, Acts chapter 1, verse, you shall be, and it's not a suggestion here. You shall be what? Witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So the power of the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter 1. But the power of the Holy Spirit was sent to take the church. The scripture was gave that what you're going to get, but the power actually came early in Acts chapter 2. But the power was sent to take the church beyond an Acts 2 experience. Amen. Now hear what I'm telling you. The problem oftentimes, oh Lord, help me. I feel like I'm probably going to leave my notes. The problem oftentimes today is we get the Acts chapter 1, we get the Acts chapter 2 part, but we don't get past the experience. Oh God, take us back, take us past the experience. You know, the Acts chapter 2 was an experience. They experienced the power of God. Are you with me? But they went past an Acts chapter 2 experience, and in Acts chapter 3, they had a demonstration. What happened in Acts chapter 3, Pastor? It's where the lame man's at the gate called Beautiful, and he's begging for alms. You know, he'd been there for, what, 20-some years, and he's begging for alms. And Peter and John, get this, Peter and John had walked by this guy many, many times before. In fact, I'm sure Jesus had walked by this guy many, many times before. But now was the time. Can I tell you that now is the time? Oh, help us, Jesus. I'm going to say it again. Now is the time. We have received an experience from God. We have heard the word of the Lord. And the Lord is saying, now it's time for a demonstration. Amen. Not to be caught up with enticing. We get so caught up with enticing words of man's knowledge. But the Lord is saying it's time for a demonstration of power of the Holy Spirit to demonstrate what God can do in the world. So I had the experience in Acts chapter 2, And then they have the demonstration of power in Acts chapter 3. And then we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 4, it was a proving to the unbeliever of where that power comes from. Okay, you've had an experience. You've demonstrated the power. Okay, now where does it come from? And it's important for us to realize where it comes from. And it's not anything to do with our buildings or our style of music or our denominational beliefs or any, I don't like to use that word, but it comes from none of those things. We got to see where it comes from. Okay. Let's read Acts chapter 4. Somebody say, take us past the experience and to a demonstration as proof to the unbeliever. Wow. That will bring in lost souls. I'm telling you. When God manifests his healing, and I know I talk about it a lot, but when God's healing is manifest in our son, I'm telling you, get ready. And in others in our church. Amen. How big is that tent? 500. Amen. You can't hold the people, folks. Listen, when you get past the experience, and I'm trying to move past this myself right now, but the church has got to get past the Sunday morning experience and into the demonstration. You know, we come in here every Sunday morning to get the experience, and we turn the Spirit of God into a drug. Sunday morning, I need a fix. You know, I need my touch. I need my weekly touch to be able to make it another week. And God's saying, I've given you all that you have need of. I've done it all. I gave you everything that you have need of. You have it all. It's been spoken to you. It's in my word. Now it's time for you to demonstrate what I've given you. Amen. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 4. As they spake unto the people, the priests, now the people they're talking about here, they were addressing the people after this man had been healed. They spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. They were grieved. I miss our overheads out. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus. Everybody say through Jesus. They preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them. This is not the kind of way you want hands to be laid on you. This was not a good laying on of hands. They laid hands on them and put them in jail. Amen. It was in the evening. It was late in the evening. So they just put them in jail. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. They're out there telling the people, they're addressing the people about what has happened in Acts chapter 3 with the man at the gate called Beautiful, and the leaders, the Sanhedrin comes, lays hands on them, arrests them, put them in jail, and there's 5,000 saved. You know, would it be worth you to go to jail to see 5,000 saved? Amen. You know what I say? I'm not excited about going to jail, but I'm going to say if it's going to bring a revival, lock me up. Y'all can tell me about the 5,000. Yeah. Amen. So they're laying hands on these folks and putting them in jail, and then people are getting saved. 5,000 people are getting saved. And so it creates quite a stir. It creates quite a stir in the area, in the community. Can you not see what I'm talking about here? Listen to me, folks. When something like this happens, it's gonna create a stir, and people are gonna show up, and they're gonna say, what's going on here? I'm about to explode. You guys better look out. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest, Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were the kin of the high priest, this is the Sanhedrin, there's about 70 of these guys, they all gathered together at Jerusalem, and here they are, and they set these guys in the midst, and they asked them, by what power, by what name have you done this? They didn't deny that there was anything done. They just want to know how you did it. By what name, by what power? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, it means something to be filled with the Holy Ghost, not once filled, but currently full. Amen. said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed that's been done to the impotent man, the helpless man, by what means he is made whole, being unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, everybody say by the name. Come on, say it again. Say by the name. Say not my name, but his name. Ooh, not our father's house, but his name. Not any particular church, but by his name. We got to get back to his name. But by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Wow, what a bold statement. And God has raised him from the dead, even by him. Does this man stand here before you? Oh, here he is, folks. How many's ever heard a statement? The proof's in the pudding. Here he is, by this man. He's standing here. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any, for there is none other name under heaven. Here it is again. Given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. What it means here, they didn't know, these are supposed to be the most learned people, the scribes and all, you know, and these, they didn't know all this stuff. But listen, let me tell you something. It's good to know the word. It's good to study. It's good to know things. It's good to have helps. It's good to have commentaries. It's good to have all these things. But I'm going to tell you something. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but you better have an experience with the power of God. That's the problem today. The church has left the power of God. Can I preach to you this morning? We have left the power. The church as a whole, it's all about numbers. And I want to tell you something. Numbers don't bring God glory. Listen to me. Numbers brings flesh glory. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm thankful that we have a good crowd. I want the sanctuary to be full. I'm glad we're building another sanctuary. And I want it to be full. But I'm going to tell you something. What we need to see is the power of God to show up and for people to be transformed by the power of God. Amen. And not so concerned about how many we can get in a club. Not so concerned about competition with the church down the street. Oh, help us, Lord. This ain't in my notes, but it's all right, ain't it? Seeing they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled when they took knowledge with them. They had been with Jesus. That'll preach. And beholding the man which was healed standing before them, they could say nothing. How many times have I told you, you don't mess with the anointed? Amen? They could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, then they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do for these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them as manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. Amen. Let's pray. What I'm going to share with you this morning is, what's in a name? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this room. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you, Father, for a minimum, at least 50 souls in the tent revival. Somebody say amen. Come into agreement. We believe that, and we proclaim that, Father, that lives will be changed. We thank you for revival in our schools and for what Greg is speaking and Becca and others. And we're believing you that that's going to just continue to increase. Now add your blessing to your word in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. What's in a name? Everybody say your name real quick. Just say it. Everybody in the room, say your name. Louder. One more time. Sounds like chaos, don't it? Amen. Now let's talk about names just for a minute. I got some statistics for you. The U.S. Census Bureau. Did I say that right? Bureau? Is that the right pronunciation? Bureau. That's the country way of saying it. I have I have a nephew that his wife, I gotta tell this, you know, it's a bureau. Is that the right way of saying it? His wife, when we first met her, she's from Clay County, Kentucky. And when we first met her, my brother said, come here, you gotta meet my boy's wife, soon to be wife at that time. She's from New York. And so, you know, he told Juana she's from New York. So she's a real nice looking, attractive lady and real well kept and all that. And he walks up and introduced, and she was not from New York. And you know, Juana talked about when she got pregnant and they were going to have a child, she made boy into two syllables. Yeah, she said, he wants a Bowie. A two-syllable word, Bowie. I don't know how you break that down, but anyway, you know, that's kind of, Jeannie, you like that, don't you? That's kind of, you know, some of the, you know, listen, there's different cultures, different people, you know, you can go from one county to the next, and it's different culture. But anyway, the U.S. Census Bureau statistics tell us that there's at least 151,671 different last names in the U.S. There's 5,163 different first names that are in common use in the United States. Some names are more common than others. There's over 45,000 people named John Smith. There's 995 people named James Bond. And now we have 105 people named Harry Potter. There's 446 people named George Bush. 32 people named Emily Dickinson. However, there's only 33 named Johnny Cash. And best I can tell, there's no man named Sue. But those of you that were a Johnny Cash fan will know what I'm talking about. The boy named Sue. In 2012, some of the more popular names. Here's some of the names that people gave their kids in 2012. Americus. What'd you name him? Americus. California. Exhale. This is our boy. His name's Exhale. We're believing he's going to excel. Google. I'm not lying. Burger. Who would name your child Burger? I promise you, you name your child Burger at school, they're going to call him Booger. Amen. Turbo. What do you think, Nate? Nathaniel Turbo. And this one I didn't find too amusing. But in 2012, some people actually named their child Savior. You know, and I thought, no. There's only one Savior. Amen. But, I thought this was interesting. And just give me a minute here. We're going to talk about what's in a name. There's something in a name. The name means something. Amen. The most common first male name is James. And the most common female first name is Mary. Mary's not here to hear that, Samantha. You have to tell her. You know, you guys can laugh at us if you want to, but we didn't know this until later, after they were both born and actually a little bit older. But, you know, the name Jacob in the Hebrew has the same meaning as the name James in Greek. So we actually named our boys the same name. You know, yeah, here's Daryl, my other brother Daryl, and here's, you know, George. George Foreman had five boys, you know, George the first, George the second. Do you guys know they named all his kids boys? Yeah. We named our kids the same name. But what's in a name? You know, it really depends on, to you, when I say a name, it depends on who the name is associated with. You know, if I put forward the name John, just John, many of us would quickly connect to a name of a John that we know personally. You know, someone you know named John. Or many men may be named John. More than one. So typically, when given only a general first name, we tend to call to memory someone that we know. Just first name. But on the contrary, if a name is more specific, if I say like John Lennon, Then you go directly to that one person, or you know, if we would say Hitler or who else, Mr. Rogers, you know, somebody, you know, it's a specific person. So then you got to hear me now. This is important part of the word. It's okay to laugh. But for example, when I say John Lennon or like I said, Mr. Rogers or somebody, the observation goes more to the testimony of that particular person and what he did. You know, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, boys and girls. You know, what do you know about Mr. Rogers? What do you know about John Lennon, you know, and was with the Beatles and how he was murdered in 1980. I can't believe you didn't know that. But from those who observed or knew this person. So that brings us to the name of Jesus Christ. And I would believe it's a safe and accurate statement to say that in the history of the world there has been no other name that has been so widely used, so frequently referenced, like no other name. Jesus is praised, he's defamed, he's exalted, he's cursed. He's esteemed, he's dismissed. He's worshiped, he's slandered. He's scoffed, and he's redefined. He's defended, he's protected. He's reverenced, he's sung. He's deluded, he's diminished. He's been defiled, he's been blasphemed, and he's been loved. So, and I don't think that you could say that there's any other name. But see, here's the thing. When the birth was given to Joseph or to Mary, Joseph and Mary, you shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I believe, and I'm getting ahead of myself in the message, I believe the Father named him in heaven before he ever sent him here. This is his name, and this is who he is. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He was already Savior. And you got to see that God had a plan already in place. And everybody's like, you might say, why did the devil crucify him? The scripture says if he'd have known who he was, I'm going to tell you something. Satan don't know everything. You don't let him know everything. You don't let him, don't share everything that God has given you. He can't read your mind. He don't know your thoughts. That's why it's so important what we speak. Oh, help me, Jesus. If fear comes in your life and you have fear about a certain situation or a certain circumstance, amen, you take it to God in prayer and you quote the Word of God over that situation in your life. Don't voice your fears, because when you do, the enemy will jump on that and then he's going to torment you in that area. Oh, hallelujah. It's important what we speak. If he'd have known who Jesus was, he would not have crucified him. Amen. What's in a name? Look at our text, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus. Everybody say through Jesus. Come on, say it again, through Jesus. The enemy does not care so much about singing or preaching. Oh. Or even churches in general. They're meeting by the masses today, thousands upon thousands. But what happens is when you preach or when you sing through Jesus, that's what changes things. That's, you know, that's why you can go public and basically give any message of religion with no objection. Amen. But mention the name of Jesus and someone's likely to get in an uproar. Amen. I heard where, you know, this real popular show, we did the Duck Dynasty Wednesday. The youth did a few weeks ago. And do you guys realize, you know, like it or not, it's the most popular show on television. We're not talking about the most popular show on A&E. It's the most popular show on television. Okay. Now we actually saw a video of the father, Phil Robertson, and they were trying to shut him down on praying in the name of Jesus. I have no problem praying. Pray all you want, man. You pray at the beginning of the show. You can pray in the middle of the show. You can pray at the end of the show. But don't pray in Jesus' name. Why? We don't want to offend. We don't want to offend our good Muslim brothers. Oh, help me, Jesus. Lord, I'm going to tell you guys something. And I'm way ahead of myself. That's the only name that has any power. And that's why there would have been no objection if you pray in any other name, because the devil knows there's no threat. But when you start talking about Jesus, hell is threatened. Demons are threatened. Powers are threatened. I'm telling you, principalities are threatened because of the name of Jesus. Amen. Phil Robertson said, just so happened, some of y'all may have heard this, just so happened when they told him they'd rather he stop praying in the name of Jesus. He said just minutes after that, they were scheduled to do the supper scene. And this is an outtake you will never see on Duck Dynasty, I'm sure. But he said he prayed his prayer, and at the end of the prayer, I probably not got it word for word, but in more or less these words at the end of the prayer, he said, he was praying, blessing the food, and he said, and Father, please have mercy on our good director friends and producer friends here, that they'll find Jesus and they won't end up going to a devil's hell. In Jesus' name, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. I love it when somebody will stand up and say, in the name of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, folks, without Him, there is no sacrifice. There is no resurrection. There is no deliverance from sin. Oh, somebody's got to help me preach this more. In the name of Jesus. Through Jesus. Somebody say, through Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. False religions are no threat to the enemy. But when it comes through Jesus, it changes everything. Amen? I'm just going to tell you right now, revival ain't coming to Bell County, Kentucky if it don't come through Jesus. Amen. Awakening's not coming. The third great awakening will come through Jesus. The saving of souls will come through Jesus. Amen? It's all going to come through Jesus. Amen? How many's ever heard when you're talking about the national championship in football or whatever it is, you know, that you got you people that are sports fans and they'll say, well, the national championship's going through Alabama. The national championship in foot and basketball is going through Kentucky. Amen. You know, or a lot of times they'll say the national in the NFL, it's going through the Green Bay Packers or it's going through the New England Patriots. These teams have always historically been a part of it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Revival's coming through. It's coming to this area right here. God's going to pour it out in this area. God showed me in a vision this morning while we were worshiping, singing, there's going to be the kingdom of God. It's going to be set up here in a way. It's going to be like a fortress and people are going to run in here to get help, Ernie. I'm talking about this area, not just this church. I'm talking about the area. And it's going to come through Jesus. I said it's going, when He's glorified, when He's exalted, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Oh, hallelujah. I gotta get this in here. Look what it said, verse 7. And they came and said in the midst and said, by what power, by what name? Everybody say, what name? Have you done this? Who gave you the authority to do that? How did you do this? What name? It speaks of authority. If you ever went somewhere and you had reservations, it was a ticketed event or something like that, and somebody left your name there. You know, and you go up here and you say, you give them that name and you get these tickets or whatever the case may be. There's an authority there. Amen? There's an authority in the name. Certain names carry authority. I looked up the name Odie when I was doing the statistics on names. He said, name not found. Okay, Lord, I understand. Humility. You're trying to humble me down. Name not found. I went to Wikipedia and it pulled up Odie the dog, you know, from Garfield. So it's the only one I've got out there, man. Juan and I hadn't been married very long. We were vacationing. We were newlyweds. I might have been our honeymoon. I'm not sure. We were in Atlanta, Georgia. I think so. And we were at Six Flags. And we're walking through the park, just me and her, just this is before, this was pre-children era. And we're walking through the park, and this girl, she's standing over the way, and she says, "Look, it's Odie." She says, "It's Odie." She tells her friend, she says, "It's Odie." And she starts coming toward us. And Wanda's looking at me. True story. She's like, "Who is this? Who is this?" I think she may, I can't even remember. I think she may have even asked me. But she just keeps telling her friend. She's got another girl with her, and she keeps saying, "It's Odie. It's Odie." I'm like, "Good Lord, who is this?" You know, and I'm thinking, you know, cause Steve, you know, this wasn't too long after my days in Egypt, you know. So, I'll just say this, you know, when we're in Egypt, a lot of things happen you don't remember. Amen. But, anyway, she literally comes running over toward us, and she gets right to us, and we're standing there, and she runs right past us. And we turn around, and there's that dog in the window. "Let's go, honey. There's a ride over here. We need to get on." A name means something, don't it? So, you know, it's kind of interesting sharing that. The most famous one out there is that little dog, you know. You know, I'm not James Bond or whoever. All right, let me move on here. Verse 7. He said to him in the midst, "What power, by what name have you done this?" Wrong question. Because what happens here, Randy, this particular question just opened the door. It opened the door. When you like for God, you know, when God performs miracles here, I didn't say if, I said when. When God performs miracles, don't you want, when you like to see the national media show up and say, "By what power did this happen? By what name?" Oh, I'm glad you asked. And that's basically, Ernest, basically what Peter and these guys did, you know. It was a wrong question, because then he tells them, "You remember that guy you crucified?" And he points right at him. He's in the, I don't know if y'all get this picture or not. He's right in the midst of the Sanhedrin court. And he's basically on trial here. And when they ask him a question, he says, "You remember that guy you crucified? You remember the guy? Oh man. You remember the guy you crucified? You see this helpless man that was at that gate called Beautiful for all those years? He's standing there right there. You say, this, the man you crucified, he is the one. It's not us. Through his name." But you know, they did it. Don't miss that. They did it because Peter looks at him and says, "Such as I have," and I'm ahead of myself, "I give unto thee. But in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." Amen. And he says, this is how he was healed. Through Jesus, the one you crucified. And wouldn't it be awesome when we can look at the world and say, "You know the one that you've ridiculed? You know the one that the world's tried to tear down and mock? You know the one that the world's tried to deface and just take completely out of our schools and try to take completely out of everything, out of our government? He's the one doing these miracles. And you know what? Guess what? There's still hope for you. You have a chance to turn to the risen Savior. You have a chance to turn to Him." Oh, come on. Somebody needs to give Him praise. It's through His name, Ernie, it's through His name that miracles are going to happen. It's through His name that healings are going to take place. It's through His name that drug addicts are going to be delivered and set free. Amen? Through His name. His name's all through the Scriptures. All healings. Verse 10. Look at verse 10 real quickly. Let me finish this. Let me hurry. Look at verse 10. "Be it known to you that all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him does this man stand here before you whole." So all healings, all miracles, all deliverances are by His name. in the name of Jesus. That's what they said, Judy. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So everything, and somebody say everything. Now, can I tell you this? Much of the church today are caught up in making a name for themselves. Amen. Oftentimes people go through life just yearning for someone to call their name. I remember one year I coached Little League football, Pee Wee football. And it's been years ago when Jacob was a Pee Wee. Now he's this big brute. He'll love that. But I had this one kid, and you know, if you know anything about football, you know, some people are, how can I say this? Some people are made to be linemen, and some people are made to be running backs. Some people got to block, some people got to carry the ball. Just the way it is. And if you accept that, you can play. And if you're big and tall like Dalton, you know, you can play about any position, I guess. But I had this kid that, you know, he was more built for the line. So that's what he played, you know, and at kids, when you're kids now, if they go in a football career, Ernie, at some point they accept that. You know, they're high school, they're a lineman. In college, they're a lineman. If they're good enough, they make it in the NFL, they're a lineman. It pays their bills and a whole lot more. But when they're kids, they still, everybody wants to carry the ball, right? And so this kid, you know, he wanted the football. And so one day I let him have the football. And I said, it's all yours, man. I called the play. I said, it's you. Guess what? He ran a touchdown. And I'll never forget, when he got into the end zone, the first thing he said, Judy, the first thing he said was, my name's going to be in the paper. So here's the point, you know, it's the fleshly thing from a small child. People like recognition. You know, they want their name to be in lights, so to speak. And you can get caught in that trap, and churches get caught in that trap. And I don't want us to get caught in that trap that it's all about our Father's house, because it's not. Amen. We get caught up in wanting it to be, make a name for ourselves. But here's the thing. It should all focus up on Him. Amen. Who's helping me? Ernie, you helping me? Come up, man. Come on up. Yeah. I'm going to finish this up. Now, give me just a few more minutes here, and I'll bring this to a close. But this is key. If we study the scriptures, Jesus spoke about His own name. He spoke about who He was. And if we see that, Curtis, it becomes abundantly clear that His name was given to Him by His Father in heaven. Amen. And he came to do His Father's will. Amen. So look at verse 12. We'll try to bring this up around to a close here. There's so much more I need to give you, but verse 12. Look at verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Now, we should realize that the early church did not stop proclaiming the name of Jesus. Amen. They went further, Dwayne, and because of that, oftentimes the world rejects their testimony. But they really proclaimed the name. But it wasn't through, I want you to see something here. No, don't miss me. Please give me your attention just for a few more minutes. I really want you to get this part of the message. Their purpose was not merely just for religious thought. What are you saying, Pastor? If we're not careful, we will throw the name of Jesus around just like any other name. You know, when we wear a crucifix around on our necklace or whatever, and it becomes to where it really has no more meaning. It's just a piece of jewelry. Be careful. You know, I heard Madonna make the statement once that she thought the crucifix was sexy. Had a naked man on it. Blasphemous. Amen? Amen. But be careful that we don't just minimize the name of Jesus and throw it into religious context like any other false religion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The early church, it wasn't just mere religious thought. This was the power. Amen. This was the power. And it wasn't just thrown into the mix of other religious thought. They were not proclaiming who Jesus was just for your consideration. But they had the audacity to say with one voice, and Peter proclaimed it to crowd after crowd, this is because of Jesus. This is because of Him. And that's changed in our world. Our president made the statement that there definitely is a higher power. But he said there's many ways to get there. Amen. He said there's many paths to the same place. Salvation is found in no one else but the name of Jesus. Amen. And Peter wasn't just making this stuff up as he went. You know what he was saying? He was remembering when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Amen. But our generation, we need to pray for our generation. This youth generation. Amen. Because they're in a place where so many people are telling them, Randy, that there's other ways. Can I just tell you the truth? Oprah says there's other ways. We have mainstream, I'm not naming names, but national ministers pastoring huge churches that are saying there's other ways. Because they don't want to offend anybody with the cross. There's only one way. Somebody say His name. Somebody say Jesus. Come on, say it again. Say Jesus. There is no other way. And anything that happens, any healing, any salvations, it's got to come through Him. And it comes through the risen Savior, the one with resurrection and power. Muhammad preached another Jesus. One who had no need to die on the cross. And he's merely a prophet. The Mormons preach another Jesus. Joseph Smith claims that this Jesus was revealed to him through an angel. I'm going to preach you the truth. Jehovah's Witnesses preach a different Jesus. One is a creating being less than the Father. I could go on, but there's no need to. There's no need to at this point. I'm talking about it's time to proclaim the real Jesus. And you know what? I think it's about time for the church to say, you know, and I heard one preacher say, "Will the real Holy Ghost please stand up?" Amen. Because all this stuff is going on. There's stuff going on right now in the name of Christianity. I'm trying to quit here, but there's so much junk going on in the name of Christianity. There's a guy gave me a flyer the other day about this church that was supposed to be coming to Harlan to protest a military funeral. Y'all know the church. It's all over the media. It's all over the internet. What's it called? Westboro. Yes. And the stuff they're doing, and I'm not, this is the stuff they put out. I'm not exposing any hidden secrets here. This is stuff they put out in the name of Christianity and under an almighty God and under Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, that's not the real Jesus. I'm telling you, we're not going to preach that Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. We better be preaching a Jesus that's real, that has power, and that's alive. We better be preaching a Jesus that can set people free. Because if not, we might as well shut the doors. We're no better than any other club. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, in closing, you know what the name Christ means? Christos. Peter said, you are the Christ. Anointed. You're the anointed one. You have the anointing. How many knows what a namesake is? When you have someone's namesake, what does that mean? We are what? Christians. Christianity. He transferred that power and that authority. We operate through his name. Who gave you authority to do this? I could go on and on and on. I've got a lot more scriptures. I'm not going to. We have delegated. I mean, that's what delegated authority is. How many's ever gotten an email at work and says your boss has delegated authority to somebody else? Anybody ever got that email? You know, this week he's going to be on vacation. He's delegated. It's a delegation of authority. He's given that authority to whoever. Okay. Well, guess what? Jesus came down here. He took care of business. He defeated Satan on the cross. He did what God sent him to do. He went back to the Father. Now he's delegated the authority to you. You carry that name through Jesus' name. You carry delegated authority. And you know what? It's time. And I know it's important to pray. Don't get me wrong. It's important to pray. But I'm going to tell you something. We got to move into this thing too to where we say, Jesus said, you heal the sick. You cleanse the lepers. You cast. Oh, help us, Jesus. He said, I'm giving you the authority through my name. You know, they came back to him and they said, even the devils are subject to us in your name. In your name. Why do you have this power? You don't have this power because of your denomination. You don't have it because of anything else. You have it because Jesus delegated the authority to you. Take authority over the enemies in your home. Amen. Oh, help us, Lord. Somebody say amen. That's how authority works. Authority doesn't beg. Authority doesn't even ask. Authority commands. Amen? We're not told, God, we're not told to beg demons to come out. We're told to cast them out. It's authority. Through the name of Jesus. Everybody say through the name. Okay, I'm going to quit. There's power, Ernie. There's power in the name of Jesus. We got to get back to that. It's not about, and I'm not being critical, it's not about the next new worship CD or the next new book or any of those things. It's in the name of Jesus, and it's exercised through the spoken word. Amen? It's through this book right here. Speak the spoken word.